The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Glad to see you. Remember to turn your clocks forward. And you made it here. Fantastic. And also, the wind didn't blow you away yesterday. So, here we are. Jesus in our gospel today. 40 days of temptation. Okay? Guess what? We're in the middle. We just started Lent now. And that is 40 days. Okay? That doesn't sound like a very, really joyous story there with the devil tempting Jesus, did it? And Lent sometimes isn't one of those things either. Okay? The good news is we know what's coming. But it's still coming yet. Okay? Doesn't mean we can't be joyous during Lent, but if you look at that cross up there, the cross can be a joyous thing, but a joyous thing at the end of the story. During the story, it's not very joyous, is it? Because Jesus is walking that road for us. He's heading to the cross for us. Okay? Well, there's this fancy word, and they're going to help me by unfolding it here and holding it up in front of us. Okay? There we go. And you guys can stand up and spread it all across there because it's pretty good. It's pretty long. And can you all read that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It means God be praised or rejoice. Well, that kind of fits with Lent, but it fits on the what? End of it, right? So guess what we're going to do? We're going to fold that up and bury it until when? Easter. Now, here's the trick for you. This is a test that's going to be a long test. Okay? Usually what happens is when we take that word away, we try not to say it or include it in our worship service. We are human beings. We mess up every once in a while. Okay? So your test is going to be after we bury this word, hallelujah, if you hear it anywhere during the time in our worship services or songs or anywhere between now and Easter, I want you to let me know. Okay? So that means you got to pay attention, doesn't it? All right? The good news is, we know what's at the end of the story. Come to the Easter egg hunt, and let's see if we can find it again. Okay? So, don't forget, hallelujah comes out when? Easter, exactly. And it means, God be praised and rejoice. Okay? Let's pray, and then we'll fold that up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for walking those 40 days down the road to the cross for us. And thank you for giving us that wonderful end of the story where we know that Easter is the end, not the cross. Be with us. Help us to be joyful during Lent, but also help us to remember that the Alleluia is coming. Amen. Thank you, guys. And we will take that and fold it up and put it away in this box, okay? Let's just put it together like that. There we go. And just fold it up. It doesn't have to be pretty. There we go. And stick it in there. Thank you guys for your help.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This story of Jesus' temptation is a great story for the beginning of Lent for this time of the year, because this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It was right before Jesus' ministry. And here we are right at the beginning of Lent, a time of meditation, a time of reflection. Jesus, out in the wilderness with those 40 days of fasting, was a time of preparation for him to get ready for the ministry he was about to do for the next 3 years, and then eventually then head to the cross and the resurrection. We spend this time of time for reflection, for meditation. We started our service this morning, or in that opening dialogue, was the Ten Commandments. And for us, that can be very helpful as we think about our lives, where we have done well and where we need improvement, and also to ask God to help and lead us through all things. In this story here today, Jesus is tempted by Satan. We are tempted a number of times as well then too. And so Satan wants us to be his, but instead we ask God that we may always belong to God. In this story, Jesus had just come out of the waters of baptism. And what's interesting here then is that this is the time that Satan decides to attack Jesus. Satan loves a challenge. He loves to go after that which is exciting, to go after that which is hard to a certain extent. But at the same time, he's looking for a time when people are vulnerable. Here, Jesus was vulnerable after being out in the wilderness for 40 days. He is vulnerable, and that's where Satan comes and attacks him. But Satan loves a challenge. I know a challenge a lot of times will help me. I perform at a higher level. I tend to be more concentrated trying to get the work done if there's a deadline or something particularly that is important, that it gets done and that it gets done right. It's that challenge. I remember the most exciting basketball game that I had attended was when I was in high school. And the final score of that basketball game was 20-19. Now you may think, those teams must not have been very good. That's an awfully low score. But actually, the teams were good, or at least one team was very good. One team was Rockdale, the other team was my home school was Pflugerville, and Rockdale was rated at the very highest in 2A sports for the state. They were ranked to win the state championship that year. Pflugerville had just moved up from 1A to 2A, so we were a very small 2A school at that time. Rockdale boys could jump higher, they could shoot better, and they moved faster than the Pflugerville kids did. Coach knew that he was going to be in trouble, so he had to do things different. Rockdale had been running over every single opponent that they had met that year. They had not lost a game yet. And so the game started, and Rockdale would fly down the court. They would shoot the basket, and more than often, they would not miss. They would score. But Pflugerville, when they got the ball, coach had told them to stall. And so they stalled. the whole game long. That was before the time of a shot clock. And so when Pflugerville would get the ball, they would just hold on to it. They wouldn't dribble. They wouldn't pass. They wouldn't shoot unless they had a sure thing. And all through that game, it stayed very tight. And you could see the Rockdale coach just turning beet red because he was used to running over everybody. And here, this was a new strategy that he hadn't anticipated. The Rockdale boys were getting very frustrated as well, too, because they couldn't do anything. And they started to make mistakes. And that's why the game stood so close all through the game. Eventually, Rockdale did win. They scored 20 points. Pflugerville scored 19. But it stayed close that whole game, and it came down to the final seconds. We rise to the occasion. Satan loves a challenge, but we too have that ability to rise to the occasion when we are challenged. We dig deeper. If we can grasp onto our faith stronger, we too will have the strength to overcome temptation. So look at these temptations that Jesus went through here out in the wilderness. Again, Jesus had been out there for 40 days. He had not eaten a thing. I can't imagine how hungry he would be. I know sometimes my stomach starts to grumble even before lunch. And here Jesus had not eaten for 40 days. I don't know what that does to a body. I'm sure Jesus was weak, maybe even hallucinating a bit, but I'm sure he was absolutely famished. And here, Satan again likes to hit us at our most vulnerable points. So Satan comes along and he says, see that stone over there? Why don't you turn it into a loaf of bread? Can't you just smell that fresh oven-baked bread, that yeasty smell, just the warmth coming off of it? And know how nice and chewy that's going to be, and how it's going to taste, that full, rich flavor. How it will fill you up. But Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. He doesn't fall to that temptation. That temptation is one for material things. Jesus' body is just like our bodies. It needed food. It needed strength. It needed nourishment. We crave the material things of this earth. We want our food. We want to make sure that we have good homes. We want to make sure that we're well cared. We want to make sure that we're safe. And even beyond that are all of our cravings to want the best. Advertising hits us at that point where we just want the best. With all the glitter, the glamour, the things that are out there, the newest thing to own, the newest thing that's out on the market, to have the best, the biggest, the fanciest, the thing with the most buttons on it. We want the best in life. We always want more. But man does not live by bread alone. And when we start to think that I have to have it, I want it, It has to be mine, we lose track of what is truly important in this world. That we do not live by bread alone, but we live by the Word of God. The second temptation is a temptation for power. Satan takes Jesus upon a high place and in an instant shows Jesus all the nations of the world, all the people in the world, the millions or billions of people that were in the world. And he says, all these people will be yours. You will be able to control all of these people. But you only have to do one thing, and that's bow down to me. But Jesus replied, worship the Lord your God only and serve him. Satan wants us as well to worship him. And there's always that temptation for power. Doesn't it feel good to say, see, I told you so? Or doesn't it feel good to have you, yourself, be the most important person in the room, where it's you that people come up and ask you questions, or people come up and ask your opinion, or they're asking you how you want to do that, that they are bowing down to you, or that you have control of your own life. You don't have to ask anybody else what you can or cannot do, that rules don't apply to you, that you can do whatever you want. It's a temptation for power, to be in control, to be demanding. That is always a power for ourselves, or a want for ourselves. And that's what this temptation is right here. And Jesus says, worship the God only. Worship God only. And then this third temptation. This third temptation is a temptation to lose your belief, basically, is what that comes down to. Satan takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest point of the temple, and he says, go ahead and jump. God will save you. He'll send a legion of angels just to catch you. Go ahead, prove that you are the Son of Man. Prove it. And, you know, I'll leave you alone. And also, too, everybody else will leave you alone. Everybody else will know exactly who you are. But Jesus does not jump. And he says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. There's always that temptation for us as well then too, to lose our belief, to fall into unbelief. We start to ask questions. We ask, God, where were you when this happened? God, how could you let me make that decision that I made, that I messed up my life? God, where are you? I don't feel you around me. And we start to question, is God really there? Is the Bible really true? Is Jesus the one who did the things that the Bible says he did? Is Jesus really our Savior? Should I go look for somebody else to worship? It's a temptation for unbelief that we stray, we wander away, we lose track of who we are and whose we are. We wander off. We fall into that unbelief. Other things seem to be more important for us. Other things more important than God. And so we don't pay attention to God anymore. And that's why God seems to be so distant. But God is not distant. God is right there with us. You know, if Jesus would have jumped, it would have made things so much easier for him. Or if Jesus would have bowed down to the devil, it would have made things so much more easier for him. He wouldn't have had to deal with the contentious disciples, those disciples that didn't seem to catch on to what he was saying or what he was doing or even who he was. Here, this would prove it exactly to him. If he would have jumped and the angels would have been there to catch him. It would have proved to his disciples. It would have proved it to those scribes and Pharisees and chief priests who wanted to do him in. It would do it for all the other people if he would have jumped and proven that God is, that he is truly God and that he is the Savior. But Jesus didn't do that. He came to this earth and he came to us and he got messy. He put himself in the mess where we're in. He was among us. He walked among us. He heard the people. He touched the people. He knew their hurts. He knew their wants. Here in this desert, he was famished for 40 days, 40 nights without food. He knew what it was to live in a human body. Jesus is bound and determined to be obedient to the Father, not to fall into the temptations of Satan. But this isn't the end of it. At the end of our story today, Satan knows that Jesus had not fallen, but Satan is not giving up. Just because we are baptized Christians, even though we are faithful, or we try to be faithful, Satan still comes and attacks us. He's still throwing those temptations out in front of us. So during this time of Lent, take that time to help strengthen your faith. Stay in the Word. Continue to pray. Listen for God, because God is always with us, even in the worst of our situations, even when the worst temptations try to hit us. God is right there, lifting us up, giving us the strength. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.